The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hey, 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 welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fox Across America Game Ball presentation ceremony where we have a first-time winner. This gentleman, a D.C. legend, a former Speaker of the House, and a guy I had an all-around fabulous time with as we hung out on the radio before the interview, during the interview, after the interview. I do say that Newt Gingrich was a fantastic time in studio. He certainly had some concerns when he walked in and saw the toys and the setup and everything in between. But I tell you all the time, this show is about finding lawmakers and news personalities who can hang, who can come into the treehouse and kind of have a fun conversation about the country that's substantive, but not that's not like bile, that's not like war, you know? And Newt Gingrich very much epitomized that this week. So I don't doubt that this is the high honor for him, just as it is for us. Newt Gingrich, come up and get your game ball. This was a big win for all of us.
It's great to be with you. This is, by the way, a wild table.
Listen, everyone, you know, has concerns. Everyone has a different reaction to this.
Yes.
Okay, what it's really doing here is these are toys of my youth, as you would imagine. This is my New York City taxi license, which I was told by Fox to keep here as a reminder to kind of keep this, you know, train on the rails.
Okay.
Heaven forbid we go off the rails. I might be driving one of these yellow cabs instead of one of these radio shows. But the toys themselves, this is vintage My Life Jimmy Fallon, Long Island, Levittown, New York, late 80s, mid 80s. Okay. So some of these might not be familiar, but the Millennium Falcon you would know, right?
So did you keep these or did you have to go back and find them?
Oh, no, I definitely kept them. My brother had a few. But I was one of those guys who fortunately hung on to them. Because there are a lot of guys you know that go out now and try
That's
to
right.
rebuy the toys. You know, guys in their 50s buying toys from their, you know, they have a word for those guys. They're called losers. No, I'm kidding. Get your life together. But you're familiar with the Millennium Falcon,
yes,
right?
Of course.
I mean, in the new Star Wars, actually, the left suspends the star because it's not electric. They don't actually get away.
That's right.
They're like, it's a high emissions vehicle. We can't have you flee. But no, I wanted to get right into it on your book, and I thank you for giving me a minute. March to the Majority, The Real Story of the Republican Revolution. It's available everywhere now. I saw you discussing it today on Fox and Friends. I have so many questions about the book, and I have so many questions about the overlap between the march, okay, that you guys pulled off in the 90s, 94, and what we're seeing today. Are there any reminders? Is there anything going on with this current incarnation of the Republican Party that gives you hope that we could be watching a sequel? Or do you feel like the bench is still a little too thin?
No, I mean, frankly, the reason I wrote March to the Majority is I do think that there are some real parallels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what Speaker McCarthy's done so far fits very much into the March to the Majority.
Mm-hmm.
He set out very early on the fight over the debt ceiling, mm-hmm. over 100 days. He had a set very good message discipline, almost like Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he'd see a reporter, he'd say, I really want to get it done. So he was positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to talk with Biden. Biden took the bait, had a position of no changes, no cuts. That's only 24% of the country.
Yeah.
Three out of four Americans thought Biden was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, the country wanted them to talk. And the longer Biden said, I won't negotiate, the weaker he got.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some parallels. And I wrote March to the Majority specifically as a playbook. I mean, this is how we did it. This is both how we won a majority, and this is how we negotiated with Clinton to get welfare reform and tax cuts and the only four balanced budgets in your lifetime. So it really was a deliberate effort on our part.
Oh, that was great. So you're sending plays into the huddle. You're like the Bill Belichick of politics.
That's I've been around long enough.
Do you spy on the other team as well? Newt Gingrich is in studio. We're having a laugh. Well, when I look at this current face-off that we have in Washington as it pertains to the 2024 election, I believe, as it did in your era in the 90s, the substantive side of the argument favors the GOP. So would you say, in your opinion, they would be wise to keep the focus on policy as opposed to the personal?
Yeah, we have a project called America's New Majority Project, which you can see at americasnewmajorityproject.com, started by Bernie Marcus in 2018. We do a tremendous amount of polling, a lot of focus groups. There's no question you can build a huge majority. For example, the right of parents to know what's going on in their school is 84%. Only 11% are opposed. Okay. Now, the Republicans in the House have already moved that bill. Every Democrat voted no, which is crazy. And a whole series of these things where I think the more issue-oriented they are, the more they offer solutions, the stronger they're going
to
be.
Okay. The book is called March to the Majority, The Real Story of the Republican Revolution. I'm in studio with Newt Gingrich. We're having a grown-up talk about the book, about the current climate. Let me ask you one thing about the book, and this is superficial. There were stories in here about Reagan and Tip O'Neill and H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. As having worked around all of them, which guy had the aura, like the star of stars aura of all of them that really stood out in the room the most?
There's no question, Reagan.
Was it Reagan?
Reagan was personable. He was a movie actor. He knew how to communicate. He knew what he believed. He was very patient in fighting for his beliefs. He's head and shoulders above anybody else I've ever worked with.
Wow, that's so cool. I was on the road. I was in Davenport, Iowa this weekend, but we stopped off in Dixon, Reagan's hometown. It was really rad. And to me, that, you know, it was a seminal moment for me because I grew up in an America in the 80s that was an unapologetically pro-America. You know, is it weird to you to be living in this era where one party is kind of selling America as the bad guy? Because the Democrats very well position us as like this oppressive country now. And like they're arguing with Tim Scott that he can't succeed.
Look, I mean, to watch the Democrats become an anti-American party, to watch them basically favor anti-white racism, to watch them favor weird sexual behaviors, so you end up with a group of weird people who dress like nuns and basically smear the Catholic Church, and then you get the Dodgers to invite them to. You think this stuff has all gone off the rails.
Yeah,
this is crazy, and that's why you're seeing the reaction at Target, seeing the reaction at Bud Light. I mean, the average American is saying enough.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, when you go to a Dodgers game, this is not what the manager meant when he called for a drag bunt. Newt. Hey, this guy, he's got baseball jokes.
Good job.
What's going on here? We're talking to Newt Gingrich. But I'm right there with you. And what I think is happening in corporate America is they're being hijacked by marketing firms and boardrooms that prefer their better social credit score over appealing to the consumer. What I think Bud Light is doing is not getting it wrong, meaning they made a good faith effort and were out of touch with the needs of the consumer. I think they're trying to change the perception. Is that what you'd classify that?
Look, you have to start with a simple idea. If Harvard and Princeton and Yale and places like that have all sold out to the left, then the people there graduating who get hired by these big companies, so you know the CEO might still be semi-rational, but he's hired five or six people who are left-wing nuts.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, and they come in, and in their world, they talk to each other, and they go, you know, oh, I think the idea of having a transvestite who's becoming a woman, but who's a man and who's a TikTok person, having that person on our Bud Light can will be terrific. You know, and it's first of all, it's a sign that none of the people in the corporate boardroom drank Bud Light.
Yep.
Nor did they go to the bars where Bud Light was sold.
Yep.
Nor did they talk to people who drank Bud Light, all of whom said, are you just nuts?
Well, that's part of the problem, too, is they get so much done through social pressure that
I don't doubt there was someone in that boardroom that might have been like, hey, this is crazy, but probably felt pressure not to speak out. Because where the Democrats have made most of their progress is by creating that gap between things people believe and things people are willing to say in public.
Right.
And in my lifetime, I've never seen a bigger gap. I'm encouraged that it seems to be coming back around. But is that their whole playbook?
Look, I mean, part of what made Trump so unique, and I think what Tim Scott did brilliantly this week on The View, is he talked back at the level they were talking at.
Yes.
You know, and he was willing to take them head on. Tim Scott just took apart The View.
He did.
First of all, because it's a little much for a bunch of liberals to say to somebody who's black, you know, you don't understand being black.
That's great.
You know, and I think Tim sort of thought, maybe I am more authentically black than some white
than
liberal.
Joy Behar? I mean, she has worn a lot of black face. I don't want to deny her credentials. It's crazy, right?
It is crazy.
And they're so comfortable taking these positions, which is what blows me away. But I think the whole Democratic ethos right now is they're selling, you know, victimhood over victorhood. I mean, I think that would be the big divide right there. But it's so fascinating to me because the whole grift relies on them convincing minorities they can't do it on their own.
Right.
But they're using prosperous people to do it. Like Barack Obama's presidency, for whatever we think of his policies, should have been a page-turning event in this country.
Right.
We should have settled it. All right, we had a black president.
Well, I mean here you got a guy who retires to his $29 million compound, not a house, compound, who says, you know, America's really not good to African Americans.
Yeah.
Well, how would he know? And I think Michelle's still angry. I mean, you know,
she's mad. Well, one of the reasons she'll never become president, you know, they always say like, oh, she's, you know, the candidate, she could jump into the race at any minute and win this thing. It's actually true. And you want to know why? And I'll tell you this. It's because all those chubby little school kids like me that she banned French fries for are now old enough to vote. There's no way you can win this country without the French fry vote. There's just
That's
no
right.
way. You'd have to agree with that. Maybe it'll make the next chapter. The book is called March to the Majority, The Real Story of the Republican Revolution. One more thing. Let's size up 2024 as it stands. I know the race can change. We haven't even started voting yet. But you've been pretty confident in Trump on the air.
First of all, I think Biden probably will not be the nominee.
Wow.
You just watch him. Mm-hmm. You see him week after week.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming less capable.
Yep.
So I think the prospect, which Nikki Haley did a great job of raising, that you're really voting for Kamala Harris if you vote for Biden.
Uh-huh.
I think you have to be really out of touch with reality to think that Kamala Harris could serve as president.
No, it's
not. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I think on the Republican side, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
Think of it as it's a two-lake competition.
Okay.
There's a big lake, which in the latest polls, 53%. Mm-hmm. That's Donald Trump. There's a smaller lake, which is about 40%. That's everybody who's not Trump.
Yep.
Okay. Unless somebody in the non-Trump lake figures out how to drain the Trump lake, he wins.
That's true.
It's not complicated.
He's positioned.
Instead, what's happening, and I guarantee you, every time somebody new announces, they pop champagne down at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, what they want about 20 people in the non-Trump lake chasing around each other. And I think the biggest story this spring has been that Ron DeSantis, who's a great governor of Florida, I mean, has done an amazing job in Florida. He was not able to clear the field.
Okay.
And so, I mean, he wanted to be one of two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's about to become one of many.
It's a lot.
You know,
I think I'm running at this point. I mean, everyone I know is running.
Why not?
I think they're having a Groupon.
That's right.
If you just announce you save money. Do you think there is a world? Because I don't doubt for some of these candidates it's a vanity project. You know, people are out there, you know, trying to raise their relevance and stuff like that. Do you think there is a world where DeSantis could clear the field a month from now or 3 months from now? Or do you think these people are in it?
I mean, he can clear the field if he can focus and offer a strong enough message, and he can win Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. He'll clear. You know, you clear the field by victory.
The old-fashioned way.
But nobody now. I mean, why would a Tim look at the attention Tim Scott's getting?
Mm-hmm.
Why would he quit?
Yeah.
in favor of somebody who hasn't.
No, makes sense.
You know, or why would Nikki Haley quit? Or why would Vice President Pence quit? I mean, in fact, if anything, I think you're going to have the governor of North Dakota, who's a billionaire, who looked around and thought, why not me?
Wow. This is fun now.
That's right. I used to tell people the Senate has 100 people who comb the hair every morning of a future president.
So well said. That is going to do it for the Fox Across America Game Ball presentation ceremony. I will see you back next week on the TV, the radio, and everywhere in between. Have the best weekend allowable by law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.